then without blaming another person. You can no longer say, they made me, and you can no longer say, and you better hear this one, it was my childhood. You give up this childhood stuff. Granted, some people have had wretched childhoods. All right, and? So how long do you want to live a life where that's the theme? And you can say, well, it's my childhood, and it's the reason why nothing works, and I have low self-esteem. And now you're telling me you want high self-esteem. Do I have to kind of, like, underline this, or can you kind of connect the dots here? One's got to go. So you've got to give up that blame. And just, again, rolling it back, start with one small thing, which is, by the time I go to bed tonight, I'm going to make one commitment that I'm going to stick with. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter. What you're doing is earning the respect of your spirit. That's what you're really doing. So that your spirit says, oh, so you really mean it this time. So we can actually work as a team. That's how it starts. So that you know now when you give your word or you say to yourself, I'm going to do that. There's a part of you that respects yourself enough to where you know, if I say it, I mean it. And that's how it starts. And then when that dynamic starts, you can look and go to your unfinished business. And think, what do I need to take care of now? What have I left undone, unsaid, that still needs healing? Because self-esteem requires that you finish your unfinished business. And by unfinished business, I think most people are familiar enough with that term to know that it represents the places where you haven't forgiven others, but also places or relationships in which you haven't been forgiven. That's just as important. But you know what? Unfinished business also means giving up the fantasies of what could have, should have, would have been in your life had things been other than the way they are. Now, that's a big deal. That's huge unfinished business, and it's unfinished business that people don't pay a lot of attention to, but it's gargantuan. It's absolutely enormous. And that whole form of realizing, I've got to stop thinking my life would have been so different had I done this, had I gone there, had I... No, because this is what's true, though in this moment you may not accept it and maybe never accept it. But I'm not sure that measuring what our life could have, should have, would have been should be done against a physical scale of who we should have been with or where we should have lived or what we should have done. Rather, we could never, ever avoid dealing with the fears we have or opportunities to respond to our talents, the opportunities of inner growth that we've faced would come to us no matter what. There is nothing you coulda, woulda, shoulda chosen that could ever have prevented your inner processes from engaging. It's just not possible. So you could look at and thought, I wish I had chosen the package of Manhattan instead of the package of Chicago, or wish I would have chosen. Well, but that wouldn't have changed the fact that you would deal with your fear of the dark regardless of which city you're in, because that's scheduled. But there's a lot of grief over what it coulda, shouldas, and that's part of what finishing unfinished business is all about. And then lastly, there's the unfinished business of what you shoulda, coulda, woulda said to someone. And that's finishing conversations or clearing up misunderstandings or any miscellaneous that hangs over your head or plays over in your mind. Everybody has something. How many of you have something? How many of you have something that just continues to come back in your mind and it drives you nuts? All right. Okay, so that's the majority of you in this room, I'm noting for the record. Now, how many? No, it's important to do this because I think it's very comforting when you're alone to listen and realize you're not alone. There's a lot of comfort to that. And I think that there's a lot of comfort in recognizing that, you know what? Sabotaging self-esteem is something that we've all turned into an art form. And that if you looked at your life through clear eyes, you would see that you live the majority of your day doing exactly that. That the majority of choices you make do not enhance your own empowerment. And that you spend the rest of the day compensating for anger in that direction. That in most instances, you know exactly what you should do and you choose otherwise. And what I'm saying is from now on, you take that extra step and you ask yourself, why'd you do that? Why'd you choose otherwise? Why did you not, or why did you do this? And remind yourself, I'm creating another woulda, shoulda, coulda. I'm learning nothing. You pay attention. And now you tell yourself, I am now consciously choosing to disempower myself. Now you own it. You want to make yourself really miserable and develop self-esteem? You own the fact that I am now consciously sabotaging myself. I own it. I admit it. And I won't blame anybody else for it. This is how I'm going to live my life now. That completely changes the energetic chemistry of your life. Incredibly. Now, with that in mind, it's time to investigate, well, if I had healthy self-esteem, what would I do with my life? What could I create? What would my relationships look like? What about opportunities? How would it change my creativity? Does it unlock creativity in a way I haven't experienced it? What about finances? What about healing? What about illness prevention? How does healthy self-esteem reorganize your life? That's where we're going next.